Bill Belichick didn't want Tom Brady, and Brady said, fine, I'm moving on.
This is the Sunday Football Show with Bob Soucy and Ted Johnson.
They have Bill Belichick to put the football team together.
We're always trying to improve the team.
It's the Sunday Football Show, brought to you by Mass General Hospital.
The New England Patriots select.
On your home for the best offseason football coverage, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And good morning, everyone. A very happy Easter and a happy Passover. Welcome to the Sunday Football Show. I'm Bob Soucy along with Ted Johnson in a show that falls in the midst of what we typically call this time of the year between free agency and the draft. Ted, the silly season, some would even say, given the off-the-record comments, the lying season. But really, this was a week of candor. A week of candor with the comments coming out of San Francisco from Kyle Shanahan, the head coach of the 49ers, and John Lynch, the general manager of San Fran, and of course, closer to home in Foxborough, and Robert Kraft, who held a teleconference with the media on Wednesday. A lot to get to as we go through the comments from all, but first and foremost, all the best to you. And what a game that was last night. Oh. I'm a little bit tired this morning more than usual, but it was worth it staying up for that game, UCLA and Gonzaga.
Oh, my gosh. And happy Easter to you and your family, Bob, as well. And to everyone out there listening, we're a football show. We're going to get into it pretty quick here. But if you missed last night's Gonzaga versus a UCLA game, you missed a humdinger of a game. I thought it was one of the best played basketball games I've ever seen, pro or college. I mean, you talk about war wills and the quality of play on both sides of the ball was something to see. So good for those boys. And then the way in which Gonzaga won it was, I jumped out of your chair. And I'm not even a big basketball fan, but I watched and I loved every minute. It was riveting stuff. And Gonzaga is a special team. They certainly are. So having said that, I'm looking forward to talking some football with you for the next 2 hours.
And we do have a lot to get to in 2 hours. Not only the comments made in those various press conferences, but also the news made of the 17th game now official in the NFL. And we'll also take a look at the rules proposals coming up. We'll have Jim McBride from the Boston Globe and our very own Alex Barth. We're going to start to begin our draft preview coverage as well on this show. But Ted, let's get started with the Patriots owner. Final day of March, Robert Kraft with a teleconference with the media. What resonated with you, and what do you think the reverberations are from the words that he spoke to us?
First off, I just got to say, I listened to it, and I've read this transcript a few times. I got to say, I was impressed with Robert Kraft in that press conference. Was there some talking out of both sides of his mouth? Yeah, maybe. But there was a lot of authenticity, a lot of sincerity, and I thought a lot of just really honest assessment about his football team. And so I applaud him for facing the fire, if you will, in addressing a lot of the issues that people have questions about for this year's team. And I thought he did a great job of kind of laying it out there. Some of the things that kind of jumped out, it seems as if he is kind of sympathetic to what happened last year with the team regarding COVID, right? I mean, he mentioned Cam Newton, particularly when it comes to Cam Newton's performance. He really thinks that was a hindrance to his development and really hurt the team. Him getting, of course, COVID week three, that jumped out. He really, you can tell he has an affinity for Cam, and he really likes the leadership with Cam here as well. And so that really jumped out there. But obviously, honest assessment of the draft. I thought he was very, very honest in how he kind of referenced the poor draft that the Patriots have had the last few years. And he was really kind of big on letting us all know, besides maybe, the fact that they had a ton of money to spend in free agency, that it was also part of them taking advantage of what he would call the inequities in the market for this year. Taking advantage of the fact they had a lot of money, the cap going down, and other teams, not as many teams, having a lot of money to compete with them for free agents. That jumped out as well. And then also, it's a point that you and I talked about before the show, was his kind of reference to the new way of doing things behind the scenes, if you will, leading up to the draft, with Dave Ziegler kind of being the new guy now that Nick Caserio is on the Houston, and that he feels good about what they're going to be doing in this year's draft and maybe some tweaks and things that they're doing differently. It seems like he mentioned more guys are involved with Bill than maybe ever before. And so I think he wants to kind of let everybody know that it's not just Bill and Bill alone making these big decisions moving forward, particularly with free agency and the draft.
Yeah, you know, one of the things about Robert Kraft when he bought the Patriots, and he's often talked about relaying the news to his late beloved wife, Myra, what an emotional investment it was for him to purchase the team, the highest price ever for an NFL team at the time. And he grew up as a fan of the Patriots, of course, but he is a logical, sharp business person. And I don't sense that he and Jonathan operate that business by making emotional decisions. And so I think he looks at the situation very level-headed in that while he sees the Patriots 2020 the way a lot of us do, as not only a disappointment, but in a lot of ways kind of a failure to live up to the standards that have been established, and in part because, you know, the team's MO has always been to build through the draft and have a strong core nucleus. And he talked about chemistry in his comments. And, you know, they, as Robert Kraft said, have missed a bit in the draft in recent years. But the factors, as you mentioned, were aligned, whether it was the market, the salary cap, the Patriots situation related to both, allow them at this time to make some corrections. But this isn't necessarily the way to do business going forward. And I think it was important that, again, he talked about all of the things that you mentioned, because I think as a fan and certainly as somebody who covers the team, you know, I come away from it saying, you know, he kind of saw last year the way a lot of us did. Yeah, and but did so really with a level-headed perspective, which is typical of the way he runs his business. You don't become successful the way he and his family and the Kraft Group have become over the course of the last two-plus decades without operating that way. So I thought it was, you know, while they have done some things that are inconsistent with what we expect from the Patriots, with the way they have spent in free agency, about $250 million dollars overall, 165 guaranteed in this latest free agency period, nonetheless, you know, this is an owner that expects this team to go forward, staying true to what have been the guiding principles, and that means they got to do a lot better in the draft going forward.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You mentioned, you know, $165 million in guaranteed money they spent on free agents this year, and I was reading ESPN's, you know, Mike Reese's Sunday articles. They always are always good nuggets in there, and he talked about the free agency class of 2001, and a lot of people like to compare this 2021 free agency group with the spending spree that the Patriots went on in 2001 and all the free agents they brought in there that helped kind of solidify you know, what was already a great core here into making them a championship team. And it was funny because, and I read in that article by my Reese today in ESPN that in that offseason, you know how much money they spent in guaranteed money for like 23 free agents? $2.5 million. So the cost of doing the money is insane in the NFL right now, and that just highlights it. But you mentioned kind of Robert Kraft, the businessman. And that was a really big theme I thought that came out of that interview, was really, you know, how much of a business it is to him. And that's where I wonder if people are okay with that, because you want him to maybe be a little bit more emotional and not so kind of, you know, business-like.
See, but I got the emotion from him in a couple of his replies.
Oh, no. There's emotion, but when it comes to doing business in the NFL, Bill and Robert Kraft, I think, try to keep emotion out of it, you know, and I think they try to make decisions where that, you know, it's like, you know, we don't want to do the overreach or, you know, the keywords throughout this interview that you hear from Robert Kraft is value and balance. Value and balance, meaning you want to get something that is, you're going to end up winning that deal, that you're going to get more than what you're paying for. Those are key things. And it was interesting because Robert Kraft, Bob, was asked, you know, about the long-term plan at the quarterback position. And I think his comments kind of highlight what I'm trying to say.
Well, we all know long term, you know, we have to find a way, either Jared Stidham or someone new we bring in. But, you know, this isn't something where you get algebraic formulas. We got, you know, think of all the personnel whizzes who passed for six rounds on Tom Brady in 2000 or 99, whichever. And, you know, no one knows what's going to happen. So we have to balance everything. Look, the quarterback is the most important position on the team. We know that. He touches the ball over 70 times a year. And so one way or another, we have to get that position solidified.
Yeah. He, you know, he says 70 times a year. He meant 70 times a game. So it's a very important position, he says. We know that. You know, and this is where you wonder, okay, are you going to treat that position that is, he just said, the most important position on the team like a business? Or are you going to maybe get a little bit more of emotion involved and maybe do things that isn't in the best interest of the team from a business standpoint, but that is the best thing interest of your team for winning football games, you know? Are you going to be willing to?
Well, see,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well,
that's where I wonder.
See, to me, I think that they've long recognized that the best interest of the business side of it is contingent upon what's in the best interest of the football team.
They make that connection. I don't know if that's always the right way to kind of do it.
I think if you do it the other way, you're going to find yourself in the same situation within a couple of years.
If I understand what you're saying.
How many teams reach for quarterbacks
in
the draft or
a million.
Go out and sign a guy?
A million. Right? All the time. And like Kraft said, they make fun of them. Okay? But here you have right now on paper, Bob, what looks like to be a really good contending kind of football team on paper.
Yeah.
And the most important position, you're kind of like, you know, sometimes you're going to have to overpay. You're going to have to do things that are uncomfortable. And maybe from a business standpoint, doesn't make the most sense, but you know it equates to more wins if you have that player that you maybe have to overspend on or that you have to reach for in the draft and give up draft equity to get, even though that's typically not how you've been doing business up to this point.
Well, I think that if you look at their current situation, you know, part of the reason why they're in this predicament in need of addressing that position and having spent so much money in free agency is the fact that, you know, Tom Brady did elect to leave. And I thought Robert's comments about Tom, you know, were reflective of his personal feelings for Tom to give him the opportunity. But also, I think, he still trusts Bill Belichick, as he does all his managers in his companies around the globe and locally, whether it's the paper packaging company or it's real estate or it's the sports franchises that they run. And I think that, you know, he made it clear that he trusts Bill's judgment. Bill's had a good track record for 20 plus years, but at the same time, of course, you know, they've had a hiccup in the draft in particular, and they've made their correction now. And as you mentioned, there's going to be a different approach in his words. We don't know whether, you know, he's talking about, was this a different approach necessarily because they spent this money, or is there truly going to be a different approach to the way they analyze and evaluate and orchestrate the upcoming draft? And I think Mike touched on that as well in his column. But to me, if you make a decision based on the emotional cries of a fan base at quarterback, then you're straying from the guiding principles that have led to success for 2+ decades. And have led to your success in business for your entire lifetime. To me, you have to take the emotion out of the equation here. You have to recognize the emotions of your fans and the temperature, the pulse of the media. But by no means should that guide your decision going forward. And what I'm saying is, don't go overpay for a quarterback and trade capital right now, and we're going to get to that momentarily and throughout the show, or don't overreach for a quarterback in the draft if you're not sure, if you're not convinced that that is the guy that should lead your franchise going forward.
Quickly, I'll just push back a little bit and say you can have that approach, and it all looks great when you have all the record that they have, when you have the greatest quarterback of all time leading your team, taking below market value deals. And so it all kind of can come in place. He is now exited. You are a 7-9 team. And so I wonder, and this, you know, was all this spending in free agency, was this a good business decision, or is this a little bit of emotion involved in free agency by spending all the record amount of money by far than any team's ever spent in the last 2 weeks? So to me, that's an emotional reaction, and so why not have an emotional reaction when it comes to the most important?
It is an emotional reaction, but you're channeling it in what you believe are logical ways, in addressing positions of need,
mm-hmm.
in addressing positions of need with players who are in their prime. mostly coming off their first contracts, mm-hmm. and retaining your priority re-signs to keep the nucleus together and the leadership in yep. your locker room. And as well, I think it's taking that emotion and saying, okay, how do these players fit within our scheme and what we do? Are they going to be? Do they have the right intangibles to develop the chemistry Robert talked about? And I think there are signs with all these players that the Patriots acquired in this latest round of free agency that they check all those boxes. But if you go out and just start spending cash on players the way some teams have done indiscriminately, and you're collecting talent as opposed to the old Pioli line building a team, then I think you're not only taking the emotion of being upset about a 7-9 season and a losing year and missing the playoffs and the fact that, you know, the quarterback who was the face of your franchise for two decades won a Super Bowl with somebody else. Well, to me, you want to be fueled by that in a sense, but when it comes time to execute the decisions, you still have to do it logically. Otherwise, to me, you're going to be in a worse situation again a year or two from now.
That's what makes it fun. It's a very debatable topic, and everybody can have their own opinions, and you can make an argument for both sides, that's for sure, Bob.
And we're going to come back. No arguing with Jim McBride. He'll add some sobriety to this conversation between Chad and me. The sobering voice of reason from the Boston Globe is going to join us right after this on the Sunday Football Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Insight from NFL insiders, local and national. It's the Sunday Football Show on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Welcome back to the Sunday Football Show from 98.5, The Sports Hub. Bob Soucy along with Ted Johnson. And time now to welcome
pee and vinegar
in.
Between you. I love it. Good stuff
on AT&T
on Easter.
Expert hotline. The always congenial Jim McBride. Jim, good morning. Happy Easter to you and yours. Thanks for making the time for us. And can you settle things down here? Ted and I, we're getting worked up in a lather during the break, coming off our opening segment.
Well, good morning, Bob and Ted, and happy Easter to everybody out there. And happy birthday to John Hanna, probably the best interior offensive lineman in franchise history. So let's think about John Hanna for a second. That might settle things down a little bit.
Well, let's hear your thoughts. What do you think about what you heard this past week from the Patriots owner, Robert Kraft? We'll start right there.
Yeah, I thought, you know, Robert was kind of true to form. I mean, he sounded like a fan at some points, and he sounded like an owner at other points. So, you know, I think that's kind of the way that the fan base expects him to sound, and kind of the way the media expects him to sound. What I found really funny was a lot of shows this week kind of chopped up his comments and really painted them, I thought, kind of in a negative light, saying that, you know, he thought last year was horrible. They have to do a better job in the draft. And sure, those things were true, but I never heard the clips where he called Bill the greatest to ever do it, where he said that he trusts Bill's completely to build a roster where he has a great working relationship with Bill. None of those things were mentioned during the week. So I thought, you know, I thought the coverage was a little slated, especially on some of those national programs.
That's what we're here for, Jim.
Yeah, right, that's right. Hey, Jim, hey, great. Thanks for joining us on Easter. We really appreciate it. And just going, you know, kind of just nitpicking at what Robert Kraft said in this, you know, he said a lot of really, really good stuff, but he addresses kind of what he thinks this year's kind of personnel department is doing regarding the draft. He said, you know, that he likes the things that they are doing behind the scenes. Just your thoughts about maybe more people being involved in the process. He mentioned that in free agency that Bill leaned on a few guys in free agency to help him kind of bring everyone together. And that they're doing different things, you know, maybe behind the scenes regarding the draft. Do you sense that maybe Robert Kraft is influencing Bill to kind of, hey, you need to get help. You need to kind of let others do their jobs so they don't make it easier on you. Is that kind of the feeling you got listening to him talk about Bill?
Yeah, I think that, you know, probably there's more voices involved this year than in the past. whether it was at Robert's suggestion, I'm not so sure. Like, he, you know, he generally kind of stays away from the football side of it, I think, you know, and kind of lets Bill run his thing. But I think he has seen from the, you know, from the, not so much from the outside looking in, because obviously he's on the inside, but I think what he's observed is more voices, more guys having some input in. And maybe that wasn't so much the case in past when Nick was there. I thought it was a great sign to see Josh at Alabama's pro day and at Florida's pro day. And that's something that Bill and Josh kind of talked about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when Josh decided to stay after originally taking the Colts job, was that he was going to be more involved in different things. And now I think you're seeing that, and probably not only with Josh, but with other guys that work with these players so closely. Like, they're going to get that up-close look at these guys, where before it was more of the scouting department that did that, and then, you know, the coaches would work with them when they got to the building. Now the coaches are going out there and actually seeing these guys. They're watching the ball come out of Mac Jones' hands. They're seeing a guy, get off the line of scrimmage and interior lineman drill. So I think that the more voices, the better, and it's just kind of a thinking outside the box philosophy. And I think that's kind of what Robert was pointing at. Now, we don't know exactly what those changes were, but from my gut feeling, I think that's what he means.
Yeah, Jim, and while they were watching Mac Jones and Kyle Trask, Elliott Wolf was watching Justin Fields in Columbus. And Robert was asked about the Patriots' level of investment in the team at the quarterback position, whether financially or through the draft, something that Ted and I talked about in the opening segment and into the commercial break. He said, I think in fairness to Cam, I'm not sure he had the proper weapons around him last year, and then he got COVID. There were a lot of things that happened. I don't know that Jarrett has ever really gotten a fair shot, so we'll have to wait and see what happens, and we still have the draft. And, of course, a lot of people believe the Patriots still have the trade option, potentially, or maybe even a free agency signing, should Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco ultimately be released. Where do you think the Patriots turn now toward a quarterback?
Yeah, there's so many options on the table, as you just ran through. I mean, I do love the Garoppolo option, but, you know, in seeing stories the last couple of days that San Francisco wants a first-round pick for a guy who's going to be 30 in November, I think that's a really high price to pay considering the salary there and considering his durability. You know, obviously he's a natural fit here. The organization loves him. He knows this offense. He could come right in. But I think right now, standing at 15 in the draft, they're not going to get one of those top five guys that we all think are the top five guys. So you're going in with a plan with Cam. And I think a lot of people have talked about, and certainly I have, that, you know, it was an unfair season for everybody, but especially for the quarterbacks. You know, Cam came in, he didn't come in until July, and he's always regretted waiting to signing until then. You know, a truncated training camp, no off-season program. You know, then he got COVID. And with Jarrett, you know, he got hurt early on in camp, and the competition that they had wanted, that Bill had set up basically for Jarrett to kind of push Cam, never really materialized because of that hip injury he suffered early. And then, you know, no preseason games, you got to make a decision quick. So they went with Cam. So I think that might have been what Robert was talking about when he said that, you know, Jarrett's never really gotten a shot. You know, he's been here 2 years and he backed up two MVPs. So kind of hard to get your shot when you're injured. So I think the Patriots end up drafting a quarterback, but I don't think it's going to be a first round guy. And I just don't see them giving up the capital to get Jimmy Garoppolo unless his price comes way down.
Mm-hmm. Jim McBride of the Boston Globe, kind enough to join us. Jim, you know, I found it fascinating, the kind of the 49ers press conference earlier this past week on Monday, talking about all things Jimmy Garoppolo. And I mean, you know, the I call it like a psych-op, you know, the 49ers are doing. I think really my thing is probably geared more towards, you know, Jimmy and maybe getting the best out of Jimmy. But have you ever seen a team kind of just talking about their starting quarterback that got, you know, helped get them to the Super Bowl just 2 years ago, like the 49ers are with Jimmy Garoppolo? And ultimately, Jim, what do you think is the end game for the 49ers? What do you think right now they're thinking of really what they want to do with Jimmy? Do you think they keep him this year, or do you think he does get traded? And if he does, when what part of this offseason does he get traded?
Yeah, I think he gets traded. I mean, you don't give up what they gave up to, you know, to not take a franchise quarterback at number three. So, and you're not going to have a you know, two guys, a franchise quarterback, and then a guy you're paying $25 million that might be the backup. So, I think closer to the draft, he probably gets traded. You know, if I was Jimmy watching that press conference and Kyle Shanahan talk, you know, I wouldn't feel great about it. He's saying we have a quarterback we know we can win with, And now we're going to have a guy right behind him who's really good, too. Like, that doesn't instill confidence in your quarterback when you're already talking about the next guy. So they can say that as much as they want, but reading between the lines, it sure sounds like they've already decided to move on from Jimmy.
Yeah, I think the same, Jim. I didn't hear any absolutes. You know, I heard a lot of right nows and our plan. And also, too, it seemed like there were counterpoints or contradictions within a single statement, you know, that Jimmy, they can win with right now. But then at the same time, we also know we can't go through a year of what's happened two out of the last 3 years. So that's something we have to protect the organization with. And there's a lot of ways to go into that. So it certainly sounds like also when you factor in the financials, he's missed 23 of the last 48 regular season games. And the cap hits the next 2 years, $26.4 million, $27 million. Now, he doesn't go on their books. It doesn't really take effect this year until day one of the season. So they have some time with which to work. And I think that kind of complicates matters for the Patriots as well with Garoppolo, because the 49ers don't have to be in a rush right now to make something happen. And it's foolish, in my point of view, for the Patriots to jump in and overpay for a quarterback who, as you said, is going to be 30 and has real questions about durability and ultimately dependability.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, if the 49ers decide to hang on to him, then that's one more year of a quarterback's rookie contract that you don't really get to take advantage of because the guy's sitting on the sideline. And, you know, the key to success, or one of the keys to success in the NFL, is to have a quarterback on his rookie contract and kind of build around them because he's cost effective. Now, if you take 1 or 2 years away from that guy, even with the fifth year option, you only have him under control for 3 years rather than five. So, you know, if you draft a guy at number three, surely you'd love to have him have a break-in period. But in this day and age in the NFL, you really need to have that guy play almost right away. Patrick Mahomes being the exception, you know, where he sat for a year. But I don't think any of these guys in this draft are Patrick Mahomes.
I would agree. Let me ask you about just your opinion on the state of the current roster right now, Jim. You know, 2 weeks ago, I thought, you know, maybe this team was, you know, I was going to be, you know, a repeat of last year. But then you see what they did in free agency, all the really good players they brought in. On paper, this looks like a much improved team, although the Vegas, the odds for them winning the Super Bowl is exactly the same as it was before free agency started as where it is right now, which is a little bit surprising. But just in your opinion, Jim, how much better is this team, and what maybe are your expectations for the Patriots this year as the roster is currently constructed?
Yeah, I thought they got monumentally better. You know, I was kind of surprised at that Vegas odds, too, and maybe they're waiting to see who actually is the quarterback before they change those odds. But I think they addressed, you know, almost pretty much every weakness they had on this roster and the depth. They got new guys on offense, Hunter Henry, you know, Matt Judon. They've got guys on defense. Matt Judon, obviously, on defense. Special teams, they took care of Justin Bethel. And I think, you know, three moves that really went kind of under the radar because people kind of forgot that they were, you know, the in-house free agent guys. But when the offseason started, I thought the most important guys were to lock up, you know, Lawrence Guy, David Andrews, and James White. And they did all. They had all those guys. Not only great football players, but great leaders in your locker room, you know, captains. Obviously, you would have liked to add Joe Tooney to that list, but I think it was kind of a foregone conclusion that he was going to go. But I think this roster is so much better. And then you talk about Dante Hightower coming back. That's almost like signing a free agent because, you know, now he's back. That front seven is going to be so much better than it was last year. I think the run, you know, deficiencies that they had won't be a big issue this year. The secondary is still very strong and only added to, you know, obviously minus Patrick Chung, but you got Jalen Mills. You know, I can't wait for training camp to start to watch these guys on the field because I think this roster was overhauled and really improved.
And, Jim, finally for me, relating those improvements with the contracts that the Patriots have given out this free agency period, with your previous point about rookie contracts for quarterbacks, to me it makes a lot of sense that, you know, maybe one way to fill the void is to have an affordable quarterback with whom you'd have 5 years of control, thus drafting a quarterback. But as you say, it's going to be extremely difficult, if not impossible, for the Patriots to get one of the top four or five QBs in this draft where they are right now at 15. You mentioned maybe drafting a quarterback later. You've been profiling QBs for the Boston Globe. is there one or are there a couple that you like who might be available on day two or day three that potentially, you know, could be in the Patriots' plans?
Yeah, so I've been doing a lot of work on the quarterbacks, and you know, I thought that if the Patriots could get a guy in the first round, I thought Trey Lance would be a kind of a perfect fit for them, a guy that could learn under Cam Newton, you know, and possibly play this season. But then as you go into the later rounds, the second and third days, I really like Kellen Mond, the kid from Texas A&M who played 4 years, played with Jimbo Fisher, who's a pretty, you know, stern taskmaster when it comes to quarterbacks, and really improved every year. I think if you go later into the later rounds, I like Davis Mills from Stanford. Bob, you know I was going to say this. Ian Book from Notre Dame is a kid that, you know, I've watched closely for 4 years, and a tremendous leader, underrated athlete. You know, maybe a little small for the position, but we've seen guys that are about 6 foot have thrived in the past. And a guy that I think, like an undrafted guy that I saw down in South Florida at Brandon Marshall's camp, was Jeff George Jr.
Wow.
He's not a guy that I think is going to get drafted, but he's really, he's played a lot of big games. And I think that, you know, he kind of mimics his father a little bit. And, you know, for a guy to come in and work his tail off as an undrafted guy, that's a guy I look at. So there's kind of a list from the kind of the first round to the undrafted guys that, that I've been taking a look at and think that, you know, they could fit here in New England.
There's a lot of people that you mentioned. I didn't know Jeff George had a son playing quarterback. A lot of people, Jim and Bob, would say that Jeff George, at least the coaches I played for, would say that was the best pure skilled quarterback they've ever seen play the game. Just between ears, didn't work out.
Yeah, arm talent, unbelievable. He could flick the ball like 65 yards with an effortless.
Yep.
And actually, he's got a younger son who's going to be in the mix to be the Alabama quarterback this year. So, some talented sons for Jeff George.
Yeah, and you had the profile of Jeff George Jr. a couple of days ago, I think.
Yes, yep. You know, we were at that combine that Brandon Marshall ran down in South Florida, and Jeff George's dad was actually on the sidelines. Huh. And I got to spend about 15 minutes with him. That family's huge Red Sox fans, just by the way. And talking to Jeff was really very cool. You know, obviously proud dad, but kind of see some similarities between the two.
Hey Jim, thanks so much for your time, especially on this Easter Sunday. Appreciate it. I'll let you get back to your family. Yeah. Thanks again, and we'll continue with more right after this on the Sunday Football Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's an off-season like no other for the Patriots. And the Sunday Football Show, Bob Sosin and Ted Johnson will keep you updated on all the latest moves on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The miracle of your mind.
Throws and it is intercepted by Ted Johnson inside the 10.
Going to be hit, going to be sacked. Got him back inside the 40 at about the 37, Ted Johnson.
He's hit and knocked down with a hit by Teddy Johnson.
Wonder. Insight, ideas. It's time to test.
All right, welcome back in to the Sunday Football Show on Easter Sunday. We appreciate you listening. Bob Sosi, of course, the voice of the Patriots, and myself, Ted Johnson, former linebacker with the Patriots. Love doing this show for you guys every Sunday. We'll do this show right up, I think, until the draft. And I've enjoyed this show, Bob, because I learn a lot from all our guests and from you, and I continue to learn, and I think we're going to learn something in this segment. So for this week's TED Talk, there's a lot of different ways we can go. I'll be honest, when it comes to the draft, I can sit there and I can look at film on collegiate prospects. I enjoy doing that, but I'll be honest, I think there's most people out there listening that are going to fall asleep listening to it, because I'm going to talk about players that you probably have never heard of, and that the chances of the Patriots drafting are probably slim to none. And so I sometimes feel like it's a big waste of time. So for TED Talk leading up to the draft, I'm going to talk about just other things that interest me, and I'm going to continue this week with the storyline of Jimmy Garoppolo and San Fran. And I think we still need to just kind of flush this thing out. What Jimmy, maybe impact, or how good is Jimmy, or what we think of Jimmy and why he'd be a good fit here or why he wouldn't be a good fit here. I think we need to continue to flush out. And I just want to make a few more points on Jimmy Garoppolo. And for the record, and I said this last week, that I want Jimmy Garoppolo on this team. I want him to be the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots. And the only way I would really want it for this year is if he is traded by the draft. Not long after the draft, not at the start of training camp, not at the end of training camp, not those times, because I think he loses the impact if he was traded at that time. I think you got to get him sooner rather than later for it to work out. But why do I want Jimmy to be the quarterback of this football team? Ted, have you seen the injuries? Yes, yes. He's missed more than half his games the last 3 years. Get it. But Ted, have you seen the fact that there's limitations in his game, the turnovers, that kind of thing? Yeah, I have. Mm-hmm, yep. And why do you still want him to be the quarterback here? And it's really simple, Bob. It's just one thing. Because Bill Belichick wants him. That's why I want him here. Is Bill Belichick, besides maybe Tom Brady early in his career, I mean, has he ever coveted a quarterback more than Jimmy Garoppolo? Everything you've ever heard, read, or seen is that Bill is in love with this guy. And if you don't want Jimmy here, it's a natural kind of, link for me to think that maybe, just maybe, fans have lost trust in Bill Belichick. Because if Bill wants him here, why wouldn't fans want him here? And my feeling is, when it comes to the aforementioned reasons for not bringing him in, missing games because of injury, or he's a turnover machine, or he's not trustworthy, Bill looks at it differently, in my opinion. He'll look at Jimmy, I can help protect him. We'll get better offensive line protection. I'll coach him up better. The turnovers, please. The decision making, please. I will get that out of him. Do you see how he played for me when he was here? And to me, all those factors and all those criticisms that people heap on Jimmy, and rightfully so, for his play in San Francisco, Bill will always look at it, yeah, that was in their system, though. Wait till he gets in my system. And that, to me, is a big thing people are missing. If you don't want Jimmy Garoppolo here, then you're essentially saying you don't trust Bill's evaluation of players anymore. That's the link I make. And so I want Jimmy here because Bill wants him here. Bill thinks he can get the most out of him. And that's my biggest number one reason. And I will also say, you look at his age, you look at his injury history, that's fine. Bill's 69 years old, Bob. He's not getting any younger. And I just think he wants to win now, and he wants to have an appropriate response by all the money they spent in free agency, but he wants to have an appropriate response to 7-9 and then Tom doing what he did down in Tampa Bay this year. And a lot of people, Mike Reese, Greg Bedard, are already kicking the can down the street and saying, next year's the year. You know, I'm so tired of all this process talk and, there's a process and kicking the can. This is the New England Patriots where winning, when do you ever just say, hey, let's take a year off, or let's wait till next year? This is a process. Those are for those loser franchises. This franchise should be winning all the time. And so I find it a little bit ironic that there are people in the media that are kind of making excuses and delaying, what is really staring them right in the face at that position, because that's just not how they've done business in the past. And so I want Jimmy Garoppolo on this team because Bill Belichick covets him on this team. And I trust Bill Belichick, the coach, okay? And I think he can get way more out of Jimmy than what Kyle Shanahan did. And so that's why I want him on this team more than anything, is because the time is now. Bill's not getting any younger. Bill loves him and thinks he can get the best out of Jimmy. That's why I want Jimmy Garoppolo on this football team.
Do we know that Bill hasn't fallen in love with another quarterback in the draft, perhaps?
But perhaps.
Fell in love with Jimmy, fell in love with Tom, could fall in love with another quarterback.
Well, he didn't, though. I mean, yeah. Let's face it, Tom fell in his lap. That was Dick Rabine that kind of was you need to take a flyer on this guy.
Who made the decision to keep a fourth quarterback?
That was
who made the decision.
But he didn't.
Who
but
made
he,
the decision?
After he got in the building, though.
But who made the, you were there. I shouldn't lecture you.
Tom came in and impressed Bill.
Drew had just signed a lifetime contract. I mean, Drew was
He did.
He was the adopted son.
He was
the face of the franchise.
He was.
Bill turned it over to Tom and stayed with Tom.
He did because, you know what, but he didn't believe in him at Michigan. He was kind of like, again, the story goes, Dick Raybine, the former quarterback coach, is the one that said, Bill, you need to look at this kid, Tom. And let's six rounder, sure, we'll take a chance. And then Tom came in and proved himself. And Bill gave the keys to the car to Tom only after Drew got hurt in a game in which he missed several weeks. And then he saw that as the opportunity. So I hear what you're saying.
We're getting off the wrong. I mean, we're getting off on a different tangent, but.
I say it's the only quarterback he's ever really loved. That's probably an overstatement. I get it, but it's clearly a guy that he really wants, as opposed to guys in the draft that he had no chance of getting. I just think you can sit there and say he probably loves a lot of quarterbacks. But he didn't have a realistic chance of getting those quarterbacks.
Okay, and look, I like Jimmy, and if Jimmy comes back here, I think it's an upgrade. But I also think the circumstances are that he is going to be. He's 30 years old. He's missed 23 of the last 48 games. Right now, his contract doesn't fit the Patriots structure. So he's going to have to take less if he's going to come here, or he's going to have to be released by San Francisco. I don't think you should overpay for Jimmy Garoppolo. I know he's 24-8. For the 49ers. I know he got to the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, but Jared Goff got to the Super Bowl the year before that. Does that mean I'm slighting Jimmy? Mm-hmm. Perhaps. I think that you look at the situation. Bill has always said a player's most important ability is dependability. And in the case of Garoppolo, to me, even if he comes here and plays well this year, I think it would be an upgrade, and if the price is right, by all means, I think it's a good move. But as it stands right now, with what you'd have to give up to bring him here, and to me that's too much, and for all the pieces to fall in place, for him to be made available by San Francisco, for him to be willing to take less to come here, for him to be healthy for the entire season, for him to overcome the third highest interception rate of the last few years. Those are a lot of things that have to fall in place. And I think you'd be right back where you are today in a year or two, still without an answer long term. And to me, Ted, when we talked about, and I thought Jim's point in his interview, when we talk about the rookie quarterback bringing in a guy and developing him, to me, if there's a possibility of doing that and paying a price for that, I'd rather pay a little more. If you're convinced that this is a guy to build your franchise around going forward in the draft, then I'd be willing to make a bold move. Now, with Jimmy, I think you could bring him here and you could sit at 15 and get a really premium pick at a different position. But if there's a quarterback who falls to 7, let's say, and you have an opportunity maybe to make a deal with Detroit to go get that quarterback, to me, it's worthwhile, particularly when you take into account the contracts you've just paid to a lot of young ascending players from the tight end spot to the defensive side of the ball, because you can't pay everybody else when you're forced to pay a quarterback. But when you have a quarterback on a rookie deal, then you can afford to pay those other prime players.
Man, there's so much good stuff there. I will say this. Let me just address what you just said about them making a bold move. I think that bold move is out of the cards. Well, Ted, you know, they're doing things they've never done before. Yes, but if you listen to Kraft talk about the pain that he went through spending all that money this year, I don't think the Patriots are going to spend a record amount of free agency money on their free agents this year and then trade future draft equity to get an unknown, you know, prospect that, you know, really, you don't really know what you're getting. When you've had horrible drafts, you're going to give up more draft equity to go get a guy that's going to be the third, fourth, or fifth maybe quarterback on this year's draft board. I think it's a double whammy that there's no way they want to even go there, Bob. So I don't see it. And
see, but
you
I think
always
Robert-
hear Bob, Robert Kraft talking about value and balance and having, you know, guys, getting guys basically, not overspending for guys. And I just think there's no way they're going to spend all that money in free agency and go up in the draft and then give away future draft equity.
I'm going to steal some thunder from Tom Curran, because I've heard him make this point a number of times with Phil Perry. The 49ers have dumped $83 million into Jimmy. Robert Kraft, does he see value in what the 49ers have paid for the return they've gotten, basically one season out of three plus? Also, I think, too, Ted, You know, and I can't read Bill Belichick's mind, and I don't know what Robert thinks in the situation. But to me, as I sit here as an observer from the outside, I look and see an owner who came in year two of the quarterback, year one for the ownership, he had Drew Bledsoe, number one pick overall in the draft. Drew became face of the franchise and kind of, you know, it's been described as an adopted son in a lot of ways. I don't know if Robert has used that phrase, but I've heard other people
say
that.
Oh, he loves Drew. Drew's.
And they're very close.
They're very close.
So Robert saw him grow up as a person, as a man, and of course, as the face of this franchise. And then during Robert's tenure, the Patriots drafted Tom Brady. Same deal. Quarterback blossoms. He becomes the icon. We know how close Robert and Tom have developed their relationship over the years. And maybe he is now the fifth Kraft son in the eyes of a lot of people. So to me, I look at that and say, this is not someone, to me, who strikes me as an owner averse to developing a quarterback. But also, again, it makes business sense, yeah, too, with the current model, considering the money they've paid to players on multi-year contracts, young players, this latest free agency.
I hear you, Bob, 100%, and I don't blame you for talking the way you talk, because we're all conditioned to talk. But don't you just want – sometimes you just want to talk about not the business side of football, just – what makes your football team better? Well, you know, but you don't want to overpay, and, you know, you don't want to, you know, the quarterback market is so high, and you just don't want to, you know, you see what Jimmy did, and it's like, yeah. But, you know, sometimes you just got to go for it.
Yeah, but you know what, Teddy? I'm going to say this, and I really like Jimmy. And for me, it would be very comfortable to have him come in from a personal and selfish standpoint, because there has been, you know, experience before around him. And he'd be the quarterback, and of course, the guy that you deal with mostly from a media point of view. And you know, I liked him and believe that he has a lot of charisma, believe that he had a lot of qualities. And certainly, I think he's better than a lot of people give him credit for. But at the same time, you know, I also have to say that, you know, when we talk about Bill seeing Jimmy hurt in San Francisco, he saw him hurt here. He played a game and a half as the Patriots starting quarterback in 2016. And I hear a lot of people today clamoring the loudest for Jimmy's immediate return, pay any price, who weren't so kind to Jimmy Garoppolo back in the early part of 2016 and questioned his mettle, if you will. So I'm just going to leave it at that. You know, I wasn't one of those guys. I was one of those guys defending him when he did not play against the Buffalo Bills in week four of 2016. But do take it with a grain of salt. Like, I just think circumstances have changed. Yeah. They're in a different place
today
than they were in 2016, 2017.
Okay, and maybe he has. And maybe Bill's changed his opinion on Jimmy. I'm going with, of course, I'm making the argument with the assumption that he still feels the same about Jimmy as he did the day he traded him to San Francisco.
And you're probably right, and I'm usually wrong. And we're going to take a timeout and come back with our second hour of the Sunday Football Show right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.